Amen.
As you know, we read scripture from one of the Gospels in every one of our Sunday worship services. In this year A of our lectionary cycle, we are reading primarily from the Gospel of Matthew. In many of these Gospel readings, Jesus is teaching his followers how to implement God's revealed will in the way they live their lives. And when we hear these instructions literally, we can be overwhelmed and feel that we can never live up to the gospel standards. Before we even get to the end of this chapter 5 of Matthew, we are told, if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give them your cloak as well. Give to anyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. And here's a really tough one. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, I'll save these for the clergy to address in the coming week. But following Jesus' teachings from today's gospel reading is not nearly so overwhelming. We only have to exhibit righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. And this is not a tough standard. Jesus pointed out that these fellows focused on observing all the minutiae in worship and daily living that's set out in the Hebrew Scriptures. But they didn't really get it. They didn't show compassion for the masses of downtrodden people around them. They felt self-righteous for following the letter of the law, but they failed miserably in the bigger proclamation to promote justice. And they should have known better. The scribes and the Pharisees already had the Word of God revealed to them. Isaiah 58, our Hebrew scripture reading for today, that proclaimed that they were to promote righteousness by acting with justice. Now, in the beginning verses of Isaiah 58, those Jews who had returned to Israel from their Babylonian captivity were complaining to God. They had been restored to their position of being the powerful elite and were faithfully observing their fasts and humbling themselves. Yet they wondered why their everyday condition still was not exalted. It was up to the prophet Isaiah to give them their answer. God was not pleased with them that their worship was all self-oriented, a benefit to themselves only. Isaiah states it bluntly, "Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day, and yet you continue to oppress all your workers. While you are fasting, you quarrel among yourselves and strike the downtrodden with a wicked fist." Instead of self-serving worship, the prophet Isaiah speaks to the Lord God when he commands that they loose the bonds of injustice, let the oppressed go free, and break every yoke of the oppressed. Yokes render people dependent and hopeless, denying them dignity and joy. They denote power arrangements and economic political matters that impose excessive burdens on people. So Isaiah instructs those with resources, share your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless poor into your house, and when you see the naked, cover them. Be present to those who need you. Only then will God answer your cries for help. For both the Israelites in power after the exile and the first century scribes and Pharisees, religion was being used to avoid the reality of God. Because the fundamental attributes of God's reign are justice and righteousness, those who acknowledge God's claim act with justice show righteousness towards others. From last week's Old Testament reading from the prophet Micah, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" The prophets are consistent on the sentences throughout the Old Testament. So what does this instruction from Isaiah 58 mean to us as the church today? Authentic worship only occurs when the liturgy is joined with a hands-on involvement the hungry, the homeless, and all those whose hopes and dreams have been oppressed. In our baptismal covenant, which we renew with every baptism that occurs in the church, we all answer that we will seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves, that we will strive for justice and peace among all people, and respect the dignity of every human being. We call our ministry in fulfilling this covenant our outreach, our mission. We are certainly encouraged to engage in our own outreach ministry personally, wherever we see need, whatever is our passion. But we can also unite with others in the congregation and minister to our neighbors as the church. Emmanuel offers many opportunities for us to join together in mission. As pointed out in Deacon Brunel's annual report to the parish, we have drawn closer to achieving the balance we wanted in our program outreach, a balance between local, national, and international missions. Through our missions we have undertaken for some time, we have kept our commitment to Webster Rock Hill Ministries, the Juvenile Detention Center, Rosewood Lakota Reservation, and our food center. There are brown bag lunches prepared for Gateway Homeless Services and peace-filled dinners served to anyone coming into St. John's on Tower Road Park on any Saturday afternoon. We minister through Ms. Carol's Brunch, which supports the food ministry to the homeless at Christ Church Cathedral. We also have new ministries initiated in the past year. Jane Doe Legal Advocacy, Spontaneous Baby Showers, the opening of Deaconess Ann House in North City, and monthly services at Provision, home of our elderly neighbors, are averaging 20 participants. Our new egg ministry provides 36 dozen hard-cooked eggs for the Cathedral Saturday Breakfast Program. We have deepened our bonds with the AmeriCorps and the Urban Homeless through City Streets. We have provided more diverse services to Lydia's House. We have had a more personal connection with our companion diocese, Louis, in the South Sudan. We have collected generous amounts of school supplies, shoes, women's business clothing, personal hygiene products, and paper products. Now there is space and an invitation and a job for every one of us in one or more of these ministries. Maybe it means that you stretch yourself beyond your comfort zone. I'm sure this was the experience with all three of our ministries in Louis, and I stretch myself outside my comfort zone every time I go back in the kitchen. So others minister outside of their comfort zones when they venture into unknown neighborhoods. But it's not necessary that you leave your comfort zone to participate in Emmanuel's outreach ministry. There are many opportunities for ministry in this building that help our less fortunate neighbors. There is a close connection between our worship and our mission. I challenge each one of us every week to participate in one act of Christian formation and one act of outreach ministry beyond our Sunday morning worship. Adult forum, contemplative prayer, Bible study, Lenten and Advent programs offer us opportunities for formation. They also energize us to engage our outreach ministries. The two then become intertwined. God's presence is experienced precisely by feeding the hungry, housing the homeless, clothing the naked, breaking the bonds of injustice. By attending to the needs of others, we ourselves are spiritually healed. Now, I am currently a postulant for the diaconate, working on my way towards candidacy. This means that I expect to be ordained, having praying as a deacon next November in our diocesan convention. A deacon's ministry is to help all the baptized in outreach ministry. If you see a need in the community, but you don't know how to respond to that need, bring it to a deacon. If you want to minister to the poor, but you don't know exactly how, bring it to the deacon. If you have overlooked your baptismal covenant and have just neglected to minister in outreach, or if you think that you can worship without ministering to the poor, expect to have a deacon attempt to inspire you. Or you might call that manual. And returning to the gospel, by continuing Jesus' ministry and taking care of the downtrodden, no matter where they are, we also become the light of the world. God started the whole creation process with light to replace darkness and chaos. Light is essential for life and growth. It cannot be hidden. As the light of the world, we are the sign of God's presence in the world. Our work of discipleship. good works are visible to the world and give glory to God. By allowing our faith to function openly and addressing social injustice, our light will conquer darkness and shine before all the world. Now, this is not our means of salvation. Jesus and God's grace have already taken care of that. This is our commendation, our affirmation, our commissioning, and our blessing.
Amen. Amen. Please rise.